You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Friday, March 1st. You heard me right. March 1st, and you're listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast.
That is the voice of today's special guest. He's the host of NFL Total Access, the broadcast, which you can see on NFL Network before and after combine coverage all weekend. He's a Jersey native, a Fordham grad, and a Giants fan, and yet the big city credentials hang around the neck of a small town spirit. He's a man of the people, and lucky for us, he's a man of the moment, this very moment. He's an eater of salads in public, a devourer of ice cream behind closed doors. He's the sweet potato kid. He's Mike Yam. Welcome back to the Pod Yammer.
It's the yin and the yang. I have the salad so I can do all the other things on
well
the back
end. Well done. You wear it well. I'm your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and on today's show, we're going to conduct a Saturday combine prep course. Tomorrow, the lights will seem to shine brighter at Lucas Oil Stadium. That familiar hush in the split second before the start of a 40 will feel more dramatic. The steps of every drill will feel more significant. Every misstep will feel more consequential because quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers will step into the spotlight for on-field drills. The NFL Scouting Combine presented by Noble. Tune in all weekend on NFL Network and NFL Plus. Now, as we sit here on Friday at, 1:52 p.m. Pacific time in L.A., D-backs and tight ends are on the field. That's not true. D-backs are on the field doing their drills. We'll see tight ends a little bit later on this afternoon. But little programming guide here. Saturday coverage on NFL Network and NFL Plus begins at 1 p.m. Eastern. Again, that's quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, and then the finale Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, offensive linemen. I want to talk with Mike Yam about these position groups. But before we look ahead, Mike, let's look back real quick at day one. A thrilling, I should think, and I would argue defining day one when D linemen and linebackers took the field. It's an annual revelation to me that men this large should not move this fast, and yet these prospects continue to dazzle us. Mike, the name Chop Robinson was empirically good just as a name. Well, now you know the dude's name, Chop Robinson, because this 6'3", 255-pound defensive lineman out of Penn State ripped off a 4.48 40. That was the best at his position, and a 10'8" broad jump that was tied for best of the day at any position. Mike Yam, is it safe to say that Chop Robinson won day one?
Definitely on the short list. I would classify him as probably the overall winner. I think what's fascinating about it is heading into the combine, and you know this, man, we're addicted to NFL.com, DJ's mock, DJ's big board, Bucky's rankings, Bucky's mocks, Lance Zuerlein, Chad Ruder, the whole crew.
Indeed.
And Robinson's name, and I remember seeing it on Bucky's top five. I think he might have been fourth or fifth, something along those lines. And I go back and I look at the production at Penn State. I'm like, damn, like it's not gaudy numbers. It's not double digit sack totals. And I remember talking to Bucky about this. I said, man, why do you have him in your top five? What am I missing? And he said, Mike, it's the athleticism. So when you say, was he the big winner? If he did not do well on day one of the NFL combine, you're not talking about him as a fringe first round pick. I think he executed the way that guys like Bucky or anyone who thinks he's a superior athlete expected him to perform. By the way, side note here on Chop Robinson, do you know the history and the origin of the
name?
Not
at all.
Okay, so Pork Chop was the nickname very, very young. They got rid of the pork on the front end. Our research team, dare I say, is the best in the business.
There, I listen, my experience in this side of the business is low, so I'll defer to you on that.
So I'll say they're the best in the business. Here's something crazy here. I'm getting ready to do the prep. I see Chop. I see the story. I'm like, oh, it's kind of a cute little deal. And you know this because you're a dad. I am not, so you could speak to this. It sounds like a big number. So when our research packet on Chop Robinson says that he was born 11 pounds.
Wow.
I'm like, damn, that's really big. Then I start listening to
Gracie and Maria and every other woman in the world, like, just winced.
Yeah, like that just, how about this though? Chop says it's not 11. I'm going through transcripts. I'm listening to audio this week from the combine. He says he was 14 out of the womb. 14 pounds out of the womb.
14 pounds out of the womb.
So that's the history and the origin of Chop Robinson.
Well, thank you for that. He'll
probably be a day one guy.
God, that's absolutely extraordinary. 2024. Hey, by the way, circling back on something you said about Bucky Brooks, about the production, the numbers that he put up at Penn State that may not be gaudy. Bucky Brooks is very quick to remind us, and listener, it's something that we should all listen to and take to heart as we watch these combine drills, as we look at pro days, and as we prepare ourselves for the draft, Thursday round one, April 25th, from Detroit, is that there is a big difference between production and projection. And Chop Robinson, by the sound of it, Mike Yam, falls into that latter category, that projection, that we see the body, we see the athletic ability, and we project that he is going to be a day one starter, a day one contributor, whereas his production, his numbers at the previous level may not suggest that. Note this, listener, 2024 defensive lineman had an average 40-yard dash time of 4.86. That is the second fastest average time for defensive linemen at the combine since 2003, trailing only last year and just ahead of 2022. Other D linemen that impressed, several day one performers are on Daniel Jeremiah's latest top 50 prospects list. Alabama's Dallas Turner ranked number 11, ripped off a 4.46. But keep in mind, listener, he participated with linebackers. Florida State's Jared Verse, number 14 on DJ's list, he ran a 4.58. UCLA's Leatu Latu, number 20 on DJ's list, ran a 4.64. Chop Robinson, of course, number 24 on DJ's list, ran that 4.48. And then a couple guys that you should not allow to escape your gaze, listener. Missouri's Darius Robinson, he's number 30 on Daniel Jeremiah's latest top 50 prospects list. He ran a 4.95. But the last name really is intriguing to me. This is Western Michigan Marshawn Kneeland. He's number 49 on DJ's top 50 prospects list. Do not be surprised if he rises on that list after what we saw from him yesterday. He ran a 4.75 in the 40. Not exactly gaudy, but a word on him. This is a high motor guy with a big frame. He's 6'3", 275. Now listen to 4.75 and let that sort of do something to your brain. He may be a close second for me to Chop Robinson for Player of the Day honors. Why? Because Kneeland on the sly had the best 20-yard shuttle, 4.18. And he also had the best three-cone drill, which we've heard for years, Mike Yam, is really the holy grail for edge rushers. Nealon's time in the three-cone drill, 7.02, astonishing for a man of his height and his weight. That is lean and bend and speed. Listen, you add the requisite power we have seen from him, and that is a man who will be very hard to pass on, both in the draft and on an NFL field. As for linebackers, three linebackers beat Chop Robinson's time of 4.48. That's Peyton Wilson out of NC State, the aforementioned Dallas Turner out of Bama, who performed as a linebacker, and Florida State's Kalen DeLoach. A word, Mike Yam, on Peyton Wilson. Yeah. There are player comps for days, but there was a person comp that was kind of making its way around the internet saying that Peyton Wilson reminded a bunch of people of John C. Reilly. You can do better.
You know, DJ had said that during the broadcast, and I'm thinking, DJ, you know, this is combine time. We're ahead of the draft. We're supposed to be loving up these dudes. And by the way, no disrespect.
John C. Reilly is a middle-aged man. We don't need to do that to
And then, look, we're not talking about his comedic deal. Wilson. Like, it's his physical attributes, right? If we're going to go a comp, Jack Harlow.
Oh, I like that.
That, I mean, I see him running down
like
the
that.
Track.
Yeah, yeah, that's
fast
good.
Fast 40. He's Jack Harlow, who, by the way, is also an athlete in
he
his own
He is
run,
an
too.
Athlete, but he's got swag for days as a performer and as an athlete and as an on, you know, as a television personality.
Love it on me. Like, I won't sing it.
He hosted SNL. Come on, let's go, bro.
Yeah, come on, man. We got to level up here.
Okay, listener, you can always supplement your own viewing with combine results and player comps on NFL.com. Have that as a resource, as a second screen when you watch the combine. Highly recommend it. Okay, Mike Ann, before we move on to Saturday's combine main event, can I get a Friday Friday update from you. What have you seen so far today from defensive backs? Again, as we sit here, listener, tight ends haven't taken the field yet. What have you seen from D-backs that has impressed you the most?
Well, I thought it was fascinating. You mentioned the defensive line and the fastest group, or the second fastest group that we've seen
in the last 20 years.
And to me, DBs, generally speaking, one of the faster position groups. I went into day number two of the combine thinking to myself, maybe we see a record get broken from that position. I don't think people are touching John Ross. By the way, I had said this in our screening room where we're watching. If you're John Ross, the fastest 40 in the history.
4.22, correct?
Yeah. Do you watch the combine every single year to make sure you're good?
I think you do.
Right? You have to.
Absolutely you do.
John, by the way, also a great kid. And if you go back to some of his film when he was at Washington, remarkable athlete. So not a surprise that he ran that 4.22. But Wiggins, to me, the kid out of Clemson, was... If you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously a football fan. I just encourage you. I was doing my draft prep, and I'm glad it made into one of our XO. And an XO, when you're watching TA the broadcast, is sort of like a high-level breakdown of an individual player as opposed to just general video about him. You know, it's got the telestration, the marks all over it. And I'm glad that the play was there. If you go and put Wiggins, Clemson against North Carolina,
okay,
there's one play in particular. My God, I mean, he chases down this wide receiver, punches it out before it's a touchback, right before he's about to plunge into the end zone. It is a remarkable feat of speed. That one play alone, and by the way, he had a similar play against Miami. That one play, I said, I can't wait to watch this guy run the 40. He did not disappoint. I think they reclocked. What was it? 4.29.
It was 4.29 as we saw it. Right? It was the lowest of the day when we walked in here. Has
but
that
it,
been
it's
amended?
4.28.
4.28
is the official time.
So Clemson's Nate Wiggins, last seen, by the way, with an ice pack on his quad, I believe, after ripping off a day's best, now updated 4.28. That ice pack, incidentally, resting just beneath a set of abs that I can comfortably describe
not
as
a six
rude.
Pack. Like a 20-pack.
Rude. Okay, to us mere mortals, anyway. Quenyon Mitchell out of Toledo. This is a small school kid who was getting a lot of buzz. He ran a 4.33 on his second attempt. He was 4.38, but even on that slower, dare I say, slower for a 4.38 second attempt, he showed how much glide and grace as an athlete that he possesses. Pace, Mikey, I'm never a doubt for DBs, but it's the drills that really separate the wheat from the chaff here. Flexibility in the hips, speed and balance and vision while running backwards, being able to high point a ball, change directions quickly and fluidly, hugely important at that position, but also something that you just reminded us for Nate Wiggins, when you look at his college tape, that the speed that we saw out there in the 40, well, that translates when you have the kind of heart and desire that he clearly does to pursue, to never give up, hustle plays, which you pointed out. We're going to go look that up again. That was Clemson versus NC State, you said?
Yeah. North Carolina.
North Carolina versus UNC. Yeah. Let's look that up. Bucky Brooks, you won't like it. We don't care. Okay, highlights of all of these drills available on NFL.com. There was a player missing from action today, a big name, an amazing name, actually. Oh, yeah. What is the latest on Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Yeah, do you want the history of his name, by the way?
Yes.
So Kool-Aid came from a nickname that his grandmother gave him when he was a child because she said that his smile reminded her of the Kool-Aid man.
Oh, wow.
So, well, you know, and they're still Kool-Aid. I had to ask someone if
there is still Kool-Aid. Now, obviously, I'm a man of a certain age, and I remember these ads well. Can you pass a lie detector test that you saw these Kool-Aid ads when
100%.
You grew up?
I drank Kool-Aid when
okay,
I was
now,
a kid.
Listener, if you are my age, I'm in my 50s, Mike's early 40s, if you're even 40 yet.
No,
now, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you may be challenged by this, but the old Kool-Aid ads did have an animated Kool-Aid pitcher with a big beaming smile. So there you go.
So then that's Kool-Aid. He wasn't smiling heading into some of his medicals, or I should say after some of his medicals. They realized fracture. He was also supposed
to run in his foot.
I think it was a foot fracture. Okay. So not working out. Will work out at his pro day, apparently, according to Ian Rappaport. So a little bit of a buzzkill from that perspective. But the point is the track's certainly fast because we've seen some really good numbers the last 2 days.
Mike, a word, maybe a final word on what we have seen so far in these last 2 days. D linemen, linebackers, defensive backs, and tight ends. And again, tight ends we're projecting because we haven't, in all truth, seen tight ends yet today. But all four of these position groups, if you apply it, let's say the last NFL game we watched, Super Bowl 58, could not be more important for NFL GMs to get right. That is, if you factor in the contribution made by guys like, Chris Jones, 100%. Leo Chenal, L'Jarius Sneed, and Travis Kelce.
couldn't agree with you more. I think there's so many different layers here on the Kelce standpoint. Brock Bowers is the standalone. Last year, we had six tight ends taken in the first two rounds. More than likely, we're only going to hear one called in the first two rounds in this year's draft.
And it will be.
It'll be Brock Bowers, who, by the way, even a year ago, people would have said he would have been the first tight end off the board. That's how talented this dude is. Next Gen Stats has got a statistic. He's got like a 99 rating. The other tight ends, and 99, by the way, is perfect. I don't get that. It's like a perfect score.
100 should be perfect, but we say 99.
All good. Next, they're smarter than all of us, apparently, so they'll say 99 is the best that you can do. Pitts, Ingram, and McBride, the only other tight ends that had a score that equaled the 99.
Interesting.
So
okay,
just for context purposes there, on just how talented this dude is. So, look, we know the value and the importance, obviously, of that position. It'll be fascinating to see where in the first round he gets taken. But you had mentioned, you know, Chris Jones, the elite disruptor that he is. I mean, that's why I think we're focusing in on a lot of these defensive linemen. Braden Fisk, by the way, a guy that we didn't name check on day one.
Oh, thank you for doing
so. Another guy who was also really, really impressive. Anytime I hear an "oh yeah" at the end of a 40 run,
yeah, that's right, that's right.
Kind of awesome from that perspective.
It was the verbal fist pump from Braden Fisk.
Yeah, which was really cool. But I think the other thing that we can point to is young players having a really significant impact. That secondary, that defense, the youngest defense in the NFL for the Kansas City Chiefs, a young secondary that was tremendous. As much as we focus in on speed, and I'm not saying it's not important, I just think it's something when you go back to NFL.com and you're watching some of the highlights, Drew, that you made reference to, keep in mind, it's not just speed for these secondary guys. How often did you see in open space missed tackles by the Kansas City Chiefs defense? So keep in mind, that's just as valuable, at least in my mind. I'm not a talent evaluator. I'm just, you know, a fan, and I get to work in NFL Network and host some of these shows. So to me, I always think it's fascinating. I don't want guys to miss. Like Trent McDuffie, I heard this stat the other day. He doesn't have an interception. You know, so like we always build up all of these statistics. He doesn't have an interception in the NFL.
And yet,
all he does is make plays.
Right.
Right. So I think there's something, and look, he's quick, obviously, and he's a great athlete, and he doesn't make mistakes. But I think that open field tackling aspect from a player in the secondary safety or corner, to me, is a really valuable skill that you don't necessarily see while you're watching these 40s.
Amazing. Okay, thank you for that, Mike. As old Bill Shakespeare said, what's past is prologue. So true. When you consider the drama we have on stage tomorrow, that's Saturday, quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. Mikey M will give us a prep talk, maybe a pep talk too, for Saturday combine drills. And we will hear from a man who isn't throwing at the combine or doing drills or even allowing himself to go through the traditional medical, as it turns out. He's a man who does things his own way. And for it, he may be polarizing, but he is also undoubtedly outrageously talented. That man is expected number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, who we will hear from after the break on NFL Total Access, the podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy, glad to be joined by Mikey Am today. Mike's the man in the chair for NFL Total Access throughout the entire combine on the broadcast side. He's seen every 40, every jump, and every drill. Well, except for the ones he's missing to do this at this very moment, of course. And now it's time to look ahead to Saturday's coverage, which starts 1 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network and NFL Plus, of the quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers. Now, Mike, the names which jump off the board are, unfortunately, the names that will not compete.
Oh, yeah.
Top prospects, no prospect more top than Caleb Williams, who talked with NFL media insider Tom Pelissero earlier today.
Caleb, you've been training to be an NFL quarterback since you were 4 years old.
Yeah.
Next month, that dream becomes reality. What's it like to be you at this moment in time?
I'd say it's pretty cool. You know, there's not many people. They've been talking about it here that you're a part of the 1% And then, when you start doing things later in your career, you're part of the one percenters of the one percenters. And so, it's cool to be here. Glad to be here. Can't wait to get back on the team. I want to be my best, at the right time. And so I can be a part of the one percenters of the one percenters.
So much of this pre-draft process has been standardized for decades. You don't have a traditional agent. You're not doing the medical at the combine. That always raises questions with teams. How have you explained to teams why you're doing things a little bit differently?
Yeah, not many teams in my interview so far have asked me why I'm not. I think they've kind of come to an understanding. They've also noticed that I'm doing it with the teams that I go and visit. Not all 32 teams. I just sit up there. Not all 32 teams can draft me. So, I'm doing it with the teams that are, wanting to bring me in and possibly, think about taking the next steps.
Everybody's mock drafted you to the Bears for a couple months. There's a million Photoshops of you in a Bears uniform. Okay. Getting to talk to them for the first time here, what's it been like?
It was good. It was good. Everybody was, cool and that's a Gen Z, I guess, kind of word to use. But, it was really nice. It was. They were mainly testing me on my mental, seeing, how I would handle things and, putting a play up on the board and then 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, asking me to recall it and things like that. So it was good. It was a good meeting.
There's 31 other fan bases, probably 31 other teams. Well, maybe not Kansas City. They got Patrick Mahomes. But there's a lot of teams that would love to trade up for you here. Where do you want to be?
Whoever picks first. It's been a dream of mine to go first. And so whoever picks first. Can't wait.
Are you having fun?
I'm having fun.
Great. Yeah. Good luck, Kevin. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike Yam, you know this player well. Bit of a Pac-12 savant you are, which by next year will mean a lot less than it does now. You said to me a couple years ago that this is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. Your faith in him hasn't waned. What makes Caleb Williams so special? Why is he the number one pick in the draft?
I think if anyone watches, go to YouTube, type in his name, watch the throws that he has been able to make and execute at a really high level. Heisman Trophy winner, statistically speaking, one of the best quarterbacks that we've had in college football. Stats aside, it's hard not to be in awe of the eye test. Various arm angles, off-platform throws, across his body, stuff that you're told never do, and yet it always consistently works for him. Now, there's obviously some issues, fumbles. The turnovers obviously will stand out to some, and it's the last thing that you want your quarterback to do. I've seen this conversation, and Drew, I'd love to get your take on this, where the Jaden Daniels of the world, the Drake Mays, J.J. McCarthy, which I don't totally understand in relation to being a top three quarterback in this class. I understand why the timing of all this matters, and Jaden Daniels rising and Drake May. Caleb would have been the first player taken off the board last year if he was eligible to come out. The only thing that changed was his defense got worse last year outside the top 20 at USC. They were giving up almost 40 points per game. Dude goes out there.
Yeah, it was actually north of 100 in the collegiate rankings.
Outside 120.
Yes, 120.
Outside of 120. Daniel Jeremiah has had, and I was jealous because Patrick Claybaum was filling in on Total Access, and he got to have this conversation with DJ, David Carr, and Michael Robinson. Mike Robb will tell you, hey, there's some hero throws. David will tell you that. DJ will probably tell you that. But the pushback that, and I wanted to be in this conversation so bad, it was so cool, because M-Rob was pushing Jaden Daniels. David Carr pushing Jaden Daniels. Really impressive. And this is not a knock on Jaden. I think he's a great quarterback. But DJ had said this. If you gave Caleb Williams the same offensive line that Jaden Daniels had at LSU, two wide receivers that are first-round guys, and a good defense, what would Caleb Williams be? And then he finished, he goes, oh, actually, we know the answer to that. And that was Caleb Williams last year. So, and minus, by the way, two first-round wide receivers. He only had Jordan Addison. I look at Caleb. I think he's a remarkable talent. I know there's some weirdness, the medical now, and which is a part of the whole deal.
But having just heard him, I get it. And truth be told, Mike, I was talking to Steve Weich about this just yesterday, and I copped to having some misgivings, having some questions, not sure that I really buy the Caleb Williams hype. I think that's partly just my nature to zag when everybody else is zigging. And you know, it's a character flaw, nothing more. And Steve Wyche set me straight, as you continue to set me straight today, because I think you're absolutely right. And truth be told, I would almost push back on your word choice about weird, because, look, you and I, if our medical records were released to the public, we'd have a lawsuit on our hands, correct? So in some ways, I think Caleb Williams, some people may see this as attempting to make himself something different, something other than everybody else is asked and expected to be. But on the other hand, you could look at Caleb Williams as a little bit of a trailblazer in this regard, which is to say, my medical records are none of your damn business. Now, if you are going to interview me, as he has said, then absolutely, you will do a medical examination then. But is this public discourse? Is this front page news, my medical? Absolutely not, nor should it be for any American. So in some ways, full respect to the kid for making a stand in this regard, because as he said on the podium before he talked to Tom Pelissero, there's only one of me. There's only one team that's going to get me. All 32 don't need to know all the ins and outs of my medical profile. So I think I'm actually on the kid's side more and more with every passing minute here. But what would you say to us, Mike Yam, who are a little pissed off about Caleb and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and wideouts Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers not competing at the combine? Can you help me with this grudge that I'm carrying around? Because I have one.
I have the same feelings that you do, though, which is I get excited for the combine.
I want you to compete.
I know. I love doing these shows. And what makes for successful shows is the ability to point to how you're executing on the field in a pressure-packed moment. Chase Daniel, who's with us the last couple days and all season long, really good friends with Justin Herbert. And he just hopped on his podcast.
By the way, if you're recording at home, Mike Yam just managed to name drop two names. He went to Chase Daniel, and then he got to Justin Herbert. Please carry on.
They're friends. It wasn't my podcast, but Justin had said to Chase, and I think this is really telling, it's the hardest thing that he's ever had to do. And Justin threw that year. Joe Burrow did not.
He said that the combine was the hardest thing he ever had to do.
It was the hardest part because it's the entire process. It's the medicals. It's the interviews. It's throwing. C.J. Stroud last year was surgical. It was unbelievable.
It was an incredible performance.
Daniel Jeremiah said it was one of the best throwing sessions he's seen at the combine. E.J. Manuel was gushing when he was in studio with us on what he was able to do. I think there's something really cool about going, yo, man, moment's never going to be too big
for me. I trust myself. I'm doing this.
1,000%. And yet if you said to me, number one overall pick status, millions of dollars on the line, what's the upside?
Which are both almost guaranteed as we stand here now for Caleb Williams.
Yep.
So there's nowhere to go but down.
Yeah, and that's why I get it, and I'm with you.
So what about Jaden Daniels and Drake May? Am I allowed to be pissed off at them because their status is a little bit more uncertain than Caleb Williams, and they're kind of in some ways allowing, Bo Nix and Michael Penix, and yes, J.J. McCarthy to assume the spotlight here.
I think those agents are so dialed in with enough teams to know where they think their guy is going to go and where he won't fall out of.
Okay.
So I think if you're Jaden Daniels, and clearly there's this huge rise in support of him. And by the way, I was at his first start. I was at that game at ASU. And what's fascinating, someone asked Daniel Jeremiah this the other day. He said, hey, how far back do you go? And he says, 2 years is typically what he's looking at. And then for some guys, he'll go further back. It's hard for me to think Jaden Daniels, the scrawny freshman that I saw on that campus in Tempe, is now the Heisman Trophy winner who's going to be potentially a top three pick in the NFL draft. And yet when I watch it, I go, look at the physical transformation this kid has gone through. It really is remarkable. He's been around NFL guys his entire, even at ASU, right? Herm Edwards was an NFL head coach. Marvin Lewis was a special assistant on that staff, who now, by the way, is working with Antonio Pierce.
Yes, indeed.
With the Raiders. Yep. AP was on that staff at ASU on the defensive side. But the point is, he's been around NFL dudes before he even got to LSU. I'm with you. I just want these dudes to compete. Like, what did Pete Carroll always say? Hey, you know, competition, we're always competing.
Yes.
Compete every single day. And that's the infrastructure there. But if you said to me, and I think and who am I, right? Like, I didn't play in the NFL. I do think mentally, though, like, I'm pretty competitive. I hate friggin' losing. There's nothing more that I hate than losing. And I know how I would feel, and it would kill me to not participate. But I don't know what this says about me. If I was Caleb or any of those guys looking at top three status and that much money, there's no upside for me.
Okay, fair enough. So with no upside, well, I want
to play you, a Division
One
athlete.
I want to believe that I would do it, but the truth is, Mike, and I can only now look at my current perspective as a, you know, as a rapidly declining middle-aged dude with my son. If it's my kid, what am I recommending that he do? Whatever is best for him. And if what's best for him is not to compete, then who am I to question it? Okay, so let's get all of my judgment aside. I know that I share that, listener, because I know I'm not the only one. I know there are a lot of you out there who do feel like you are going to a Broadway musical, and suddenly it's only understudies out there on the stage, and it feels a little bit disappointing. But let's talk about those so-called understudies, because Patrick Mahomes was drafted, what, 10th?
10th.
Okay, from a team that moved up from, what, 27 to get him. Number one overall picks. They don't always work out. Tom Brady, where did he go again? Yeah, that's right. 199th in the sixth round. So let's talk about the guys. Trey Lance, exactly. Let's talk about the guys who will be out there. The top three names on the board really are Michael Penix, Bo Nix, and of course, J.J. McCarthy. You're not high on McCarthy. You've already tipped your hand. Who do you think is best positioned to steal the spotlight, steal the show, and make it their show tomorrow at Indy?
And you always remind people, and I appreciate it. I do have some ties to the Pac-12.
Yes,
so I do watch that league and have more closely. So I do have an affinity. And I say that as full disclosure here, because if anyone who does know, you know, sort of the background, they'll understand. Maybe like, oh, he's a homer. Here's where I stand. J.J. McCarthy to me, and I've seen enough and talked to enough guys who've played those bigger moments. Like, he's not the focal point of what Michigan's success was. So that's a part of it. Those critical downs and distances, those third and longs. How many times was he asked to really execute? There's more questions than answers to me about J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
And therefore, I don't know if I'm willing. I think it would be irresponsible. How about this? It's not that J.J. is not going to be a good quarterback, or I don't think he can be. I just would tell you that if I was picking in the top 15, the top 10, I would find it an irresponsible decision to go and draft him that early.
Fair enough.
And I'm saying if he was in the second round or the third round, I'd be more inclined, because he's the face of your franchise, and I still have questions about him. Bo Nix has got 61 career starts. That is a record in the NCAA. We talk about, hey, what's made Brock Purdy successful? Starts, reps. No one has had more in the history of the game than Bo Nix. And to me, that's meaningful. Look at the interception numbers that he's had in his career. The dude doesn't make mistakes. Now, full disclosure on this aspect, about 30% of his passes have become at Oregon last year were at or behind the line of scrimmage. So there's that factor as well.
Yep. But a scheme thing. 100%. That's not necessarily a knock on his skill set. It's what he was asked to do.
No doubt. And by the way, the same argument I've heard made about J.J. McCarthy, that he's willing to check down and take the profit and not necessarily force the issue. Okay, well, clearly Bo Nix has done that.
I love
as
that.
Well.
Take the profit, even if it's only a couple of bucks.
Right?
Love
Why
it.
Not?
Yep.
Herm Edwards used to say this.
Is that what he said?
You'll never go broke taking a profit.
There you go.
And he's right.
All right.
Like,
fair enough.
And I think there's something to be said for that. I like Bo. I do think he's got the potential to be a first-round guy.
There's a butt coming because I think you're building to Penix.
No. Oh, yeah. To Michael Penix, who I those are the two guys that I really like, and I can't wait to see them throw. Michael's ability in the last 2 years, and I think the same can be said for Bo Nix, and it's not just those two guys. There's the history of these players who have transferred or have been given another opportunity.
Yes.
The mental fortitude that comes with playing in the SEC at Auburn, and quite frankly, kind of crashing and burning here, remaking himself at Oregon and thriving to the point where he's in New York for a Heisman, and he's not making mistakes. That's why I love him. And then from a Michael Penix standpoint, 4 years at Indiana, four injuries in those four seasons.
That's the biggest question mark. And, of course, one of those injuries or the combination of those injuries led him to say, and, of course, he probably regrets it now, that, yes, he considered quitting. And, of course, we take that very human moment for a young man who is facing yet another injury challenge. He considered quitting, which I think we all would, but he dared to admit it. And now, of course, that admission is being questioned as, does he really love the game? And, of course, you know, people factor in all of this stuff, but just as a player, he looks pretty special to me.
He does, man. Pushing the ball, he is an aggressive
and he's a lefty
thrower.
And I freaking love that, bro.
Doesn't
Come
it look
on,
better
man.
Coming
it just looks cool,
you,
dude.
You and I were talking about this because you played soccer in college. You kicked with both feet.
Yes.
Can you imagine
two-footed player, which was probably my superpower. I didn't really have a superpower, a small s in quotes, but if I did have one, it was that.
And like, there's something cool. I bet your form looked better kicking lefty than righty. Lefties just do things cool. Like, it just looks better when a lefty does it. And Penix is one of those guys. There's some video, and JJ is included in this video. They're at the hotel in Indy, and they're throwing in the lobby. And
oh, I saw this.
It's pretty cool. And there's
just to keep fresh,
just
right?
To keep fresh, loose. Right? Like it's just life at the combine. And there's this one video where they're behind, like with JJ, they're side angles of both of these guys throwing. Then someone captures the video of Penix throwing behind. My God, the snap in the release. I'm like, God damn, that guy is good. Yes. Like it looks awesome. Forced the football downfield, didn't make a ton of mistakes. The back shoulder throws to Roma Dunze. Tremendous. The timing, there's so many really great things about what he can do, but I'd say this about every single one of these quarterbacks: where they're drafted, the fit, the coaching scheme, the whole deal, it absolutely matters. Because for anyone who says Bryce Young bust, the whole deal, I tell you this: he's got two different play callers, he had two head coaches in year number one, not a whole lot of great protection up front on that offensive line, and candidly not a ton of playmakers on the outside.
No, who's he throwing to?
Not set up for success. And to me, any one of these guys, no matter if it's Caleb or JJ or Dre, you name the guy, where they go and the pieces around them will dictate how successful they're going to be.
Amazing. Thank you for that. As a final sort of word, as a viewer's guide for us, take us through your viewing process. Yeah. As you sit on the set with NFL analysts, Chase Daniel and Robert Turbin and others just over the last couple of days, you're trying to synthesize, Mike Yam, a ton of material to deliver to us at home. Where does your eye go? And I think the real question I'm asking is, where should our eyes go tomorrow when we watch quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers?
So it's a different answer until you made it super specific, the question. So I would tell you, when I'm in that room, that screening room, it's not where my eyes go, it's where my ears are listening to. Because I've been really, really fortunate, and it's here at NFL Network, or when I was at Pac-12 Network or NBA TV or ESPN, you work with guys that have played the game at the highest level or coached, and they have forgotten more about their respective sports than most of us will ever know. And sometimes they just say something about a guy and it's just the throwaway line and you go, oh my God, I have never heard that before.
Interesting.
So those are the types of things that I'm always trying to pay attention to. But sometimes you just watch guys, the footwork when it's the DBs, the speed. And by the way, the speed matters more from a DB wide receiver perspective. And I think you make a case too from a running back perspective. There's these overlays. And if you're watching the coverage.
The simulcams.
Yes. Thank you for the official term.
Believe me, I asked right before we came in here because you and I were struggling to come up with that phrase.
What are those damn
I double-checked myself. Simulcam.
So if you haven't seen this, and they're on social media, it's basically the start line of the 40 for two players, three players, whatever, and then they have it go together. So
and
you can see
their relative sort of speed or lack thereof.
Yes, and look, Patrick Mahomes is like, hey, please don't play my 40. And
which, of course, means we're going to play it a lot.
Which they started the show with because he had tweeted that, and he should have known, and he probably did, and he got some run from it. But what's really cool
he's doing okay.
Yeah, like... We're not
questioning the scouting report on Patrick Mahomes
they
anymore.
They did one with Brady. Brady at 40, whatever, however old he is now, and then Brady at the combine, and he's faster now in his 40. It's kind of cool.
But it's funny, isn't it? You sort of learn how to do what you didn't know how to do.
Yeah. I mean, look, I some of these guys, 15 years ago, Charles Davis was telling a story on our coverage. He goes, I didn't know I was supposed to wear, like, cleats and that. I just showed up. He ran like 4.6. He said, "You know, it is different now. There's a younger audience who's probably listening to this podcast that thinks about the preparation because we talk about it now. That wasn't the case. You know, the combine wasn't the combine 15 years ago, 20 years ago that it is now. But I would encourage people, like, there is a difference when you're watching these simulcam. They ran a 4. I don't remember the players. It's 4.3, 4.4, 4.5. 4.5 is meaningful." When you compare it to 4.3, because it's like a step.
Okay,
step
I'll tell you exactly what it was, because it was Nate Wiggins from Clemson and Sauce Gardner.
Oh,
and
cool.
So Nate Wiggins runs that 4.28 adjusted now, and Sauce was right around 4.5. And in that simulcam, huge gap.
It's huge, because think about
it. It's a horse length.
If you're a DB and you're chasing that wide receiver, like if that wide receiver's 4.3,
wide open,
it's done. It's a wrap. Yes, like you're not going to catch up to him, which is why that play, by the way, that we made reference to, and check it out on YouTube, Wiggins against North Carolina, that's why it's so significant, because he's got the pursuit speed. And that's why it's when these general managers and front office people are watching these 40s, it is meaningful in terms of the DBs and the wide receivers. Like that's something to pay attention to. And by the way, and one other thing that I will throw your way that I told you I did want to mention, because it's really significant as you get ready to watch Saturday's coverage on NFL Network. The quarterbacks will always dominate the conversation. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on the fan base, that gets one of the top three or four guys. most of the conversations we have center on those players, yes, right? For better or worse. We had 10 rookie starting quarterbacks last year.
Yes.
10 rookies started at least one game. That is the most 10 since rookie 2000.
Listener, it bears repeating time and time again. Mike Yam, I want you to say it again.
10 rookies made at least one start. Dorian Thompson-Robinson was out there. Aiden O'Connell gets that job for the Raiders. The point is, we could talk Caleb all we want. Guess what? Spencer Rattler, by all accounts, will probably start a game this upcoming season, right? So that's why you should be paying attention on
the
Saturday.
The kid from Notre Dame, there are so many of these young men who will, for a variety of different reasons, find themselves thrust into the spotlight on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays at the NFL level. Before they're ready, don't care. Get out there, kid. It's on you.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see. And that's why I'm pumped up for Saturday, because you know what? I've seen a ton of Caleb Williams. I wanted to see him throw because I wanted to see him compete. I've seen Jaden Daniels. I've seen these guys. But what's going to be really cool is, and it would have been great to see the comps like back to back to back to back like we get in the combine, but the players who will also start and make an impact this upcoming season on Sundays, we will see them up close on Saturday.
I'm so glad that you said that, because you're absolutely right. And I think in some ways that's the spirit, that's the beauty of the Scouting Combine, the NFL Scouting Combine presented by Noble. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, coverage begins for quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. Sunday, let's not forget Sunday, offensive linemen, maybe the deepest, best class, position group, rather, in this entire draft. So keep an eye on those guys. But to your point, Mike, it's not about confirming your bias about the guys that you already know. This is about an act of discovery, because this is an act of discovery that is being engaged upon by every single coach and GM who is there in Indianapolis. Let's find the guys who may be interesting to us at the bottom of round two, in the middle of round three and four and five and six, and yes, round seven, and compensatory picks. These are young men who are trying to put their names and their faces and their skill sets on the NFL map, and we are rooting for every single one of them. I'm so glad that you just reminded us how many rookie quarterbacks made a significant contribution in the NFL this past season. There is no reason for us to expect it will be any different in the year or years to come. But another drill, listener, that I want to direct your attention to when the wide receivers take the field is the gauntlet drill, as we call it.
Good call.
Because the 40, certainly, as Mike has very very lucidly sort of reminded us, it matters. It matters if you can separate. That 1/10 means maybe 10 yards of separation. That certainly 2/10 is 10 yards. 1/10, maybe 5 yards, and that gets you wide open in NFL terms. But I want to put a name in your brain and remind you of what Puka Nacua, who was a shortlisted finalist for Offensive Rookie of the Year, did at the Combine. He ran a 4.6 40. 4.57, to be more accurate. And that does not exactly jump off the page. That probably had a lot of eyes rolling or a lot of eyes looking elsewhere. But when he got to the gauntlet drill, you know this drill where they're running down a straight line and they're receiving passes from both left and right. He was the only person, the only wide receiver in that drill to top 20 miles an hour. He caught every ball in that drill at that speed. So let's talk about game speed, because that really matters just as much, if not more, to coaches and GMs. And Puka Nacua is the perfect example of a guy who may not jump off the page at the 40, but may just be able to do the things in a gauntlet drill and on an NFL Sunday that you need him to do. So there are a lot of nuances to the viewership of an NFL Combine drill day. And tomorrow, Mike Yam, and I can't, and you too, listener, can't wait for quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. 1 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network and NFL Plus. Don't forget O-linemen on Sunday to finish it off. 1 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network and NFL Plus. I want to thank today's special guest, Mike Yam. Yammer, you're the best. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Love doing it, man. Enjoy the combine, dude. We're going to have some fun this weekend.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And I want to invite the listener to join us for a complete combine recap and a look ahead to free agency. That's next time. That's early next week. Till then, have a great weekend. Take care of you. Take care of your crew. And ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.